In a rustic vaulted space, sun shines through gaps in the wood-slatted roof as a young girl on the verge of adolescence paints at an easel. Words appear, Lithuania, present day. Using a slim brush, she mixes her paints to make a shade of bluish green. From the other side of a clear surface, we watch her paint a near-perfect circle. On a gray canvas, she paints a deeply set almond-shaped eye with remarkable detail. Taking a step back from the canvas, she shuts her eyes and takes a deep centering breath. The girl opens her own clear bluish-green eyes, tilts her head, and continues painting. Stepping back, she gazes at the lifelike eye, its rendering full of light and depth. Now we view a rural homestead. Words appear, Nebraska, present day.
Is heaven a hope? Or as real as the earth and sky?
A swing set stands near a sandbox.
I once asked my grandfather that question.
Porch lights shine on a farmhouse.
And he said by the time he knew the answer, it would be too late for him to tell me.
A child plays on a swing.
The day would come when I asked that question again, staring into the eyes of my son.
In a garage, an athletically built man with dark blonde hair stands on a ladder as he makes adjustments to a gear shaft. Using a wrench, he grits his teeth with effort. Later, he tightens a screw on a fuse box and climbs down from the ladder. He flips a switch and hits a green button on a control panel. A garage door opens, revealing a stretch of fertile fields beneath a vast blue sky thickly streaked with clouds. A breeze plays with the mechanic's short hair and his face glistens. An older man approaches.
Mighty quick.
I don't get paid by the hour.
Afraid you don't get paid by cash either. You sure you're okay with the carpet?
Times are tough. Your business improves, mine will too.
With a kind smile, the mechanic unfastens his tool belt. Later, a red pickup stocked with equipment pulls away with three rolls of carpeting in the bed. It turns down a straight dirt road. Later, it travels between two fields of tall, yellow-topped plants. The mechanic takes in his surroundings as he drives. A bird's-eye view shows the truck dwarfed by the surrounding farmland. Now, the truck passes a sign reading, "Welcome to Imperial, Nebraska." It drives past a building labeled Department of Agriculture. The truck turns past a corner bank, then arrives at a construction site. Behind the wheel, the mechanic swerves among the workers with a good-natured grin. As he stops the truck, we glimpse a name painted on his door, Todd Burpo. Nearby, a few men eat lunch near a fire truck.
You rob a carpet store, Todd?
Unlike you guys, I actually have a job. Look at these bombs.
Yeah, he's got five of them. Oh. You want some help?
A taller man joins Tom.
You know, if you keep accepting things instead of money, eventually you're going to run out of things and money.
Yeah, I got downsides, man.
How you doing,
downsides.
You ladies just keep your seats.
Yeah,
Tom, I
help.
Got this.
Don't help. Not necessary.
No problem, no problem.
Now, a school gym.
Let's go. Line it up. Burpos. Let's go, Davidson. We were slacking last week. These ladies are watching.
Todd supervises a wrestling practice as cheerleaders practice nearby. Later, his red pickup truck kicks up dust as it drives past another field of bright yellow crops. Now at a cemetery, Todd gets out of his truck wearing sunglasses, a sweatshirt reading Longhorns, and dark blue track pants. He takes off his sunglasses with a bouquet of wildflowers clutched in his other hand. Kneeling at a grave, he removes a dried-up bunch of flowers from a vase at the headstone and replaces it with the fresh bouquet. Getting to his feet, he steps back and faces the grave with a solemn frown. At dusk, Todd's pickup arrives at the farmhouse, passing a mailbox that reads Burpo. Several cars crowd the driveway.
Every Monday.
He parks irritably. In a living room, a matronly woman accompanies about a dozen others as they practice singing. As a pretty redhead leads the group, a little blonde girl serves refreshments. In the adjoining foyer, a blonde boy idly plays with his toys.
Hang on. We gotta work on that pitch, ladies. It's a little bit.
That's a little bit pious.
Shall we try it one more time?
Okay.
Wincing, the little boy clamps his hands over his ears and draws his knees to his chest. He picks up a Spider-Man action figure and goes outside. In the dimming light, he descends the porch steps about halfway, sits and looks up at the sky. Todd approaches.
There's my guy.
Daddy!
How are you? What's happening?
The boy runs to Todd, who picks him up and carries him back to the porch.
How you doing? How was your day?
Huh?
What's going on in there?
Mom has a house full of women, and Cassie thinks she's one, too.
Oh, no. Oh, they're singing.
Todd grins at his sign. Inside, the redhead cuts off the singers.
Todd's home?
Outside.
All right, how about boys' night out? We go get some pizza. Pizza Palace?
Really?
What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Does that sound good? What kind are you going to get?
Cheese.
No, you're not.
Cheese.
Eyeing his phone, Todd sobers.
What's wrong, Dad?
There's some people over at the hospital, and they want me to come by.
I'll go with you.
You're going to go with me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's such a good idea. Might be a little sad or a little scary.
That's all right. Sad with you, I won't be afraid.
Holding the child on his lap, Todd kisses his head.
You coming with me then? Hospital and pizza. Hospital and pizza.
Let's go.
You know what we say when we're hungry?
Todd carries his son toward his truck. Now in a hospital hallway, a man and woman hold hands as they weep. She walks past Todd, who arrives with his son. The man greets him.
Reverend Burkle.
Todd.
Todd.
Yeah.
My name is Lee. My father asked for a pastor. Would you mind talking to him?
Sure.
Great.
Sure. You okay, pal?
Mm-hmm.
Listen here.
Lee ushers Todd to a private room where an old man lies in a hospital bed. Todd walks in by himself and takes the man's hand. Staring through bright blue eyes, the old man hesitates painfully as he draws a ragged breath.
My name's Todd. I'm here to pray for you.
In the hall, Todd's son sits clutching his Spider-Man. Lee and the woman huddle close as they look on from the doorway.
Is there anything you're sorry for?
Todd leans closer to the patient.
Everything.
Todd's son steps behind the couple.
I believe God forgives. And if he forgives anything, he forgives everything.
Todd bows his head. As he prays, his son whispers along. At night, Todd's wife reads to their children.
And then said to the lion, of all the deaths we could have died, this is the one we would have chosen.
Todd listens from the doorway.
Take your blanket.
He helps her tuck the children in.
Good night, Dad.
Yeah.
I pray for the sick man.
Beaming proudly, Todd kisses his son on the forehead, then turns off a bedside lamp. Now in another bedroom, his wife opens a low drawer and takes out a box. She takes the lid off, revealing two infant-sized garments, one blue and one pink. Her hand moves to her chest as she stares down at them. Taking a deep breath, she takes out the pink garment, an infant's nightgown. She holds it up to the light with a sad, wistful smile. In the living room, Todd watches TV on the couch. A tremor lightly shakes a lamp on a table beside him. Joining him, his wife turns off the TV and lies down with her head in his lap. Todd eyes the shaking lamp and touches its shade.
When Jay offered us a house as part of my salary, he never mentioned the railroad.
I like the rumble. It's romantic.